I interview Jeff Hodges about fail whales.
Hey, I'm Jeff Hodges. I am most legibly known as a software engineer, though I do like independent consulting these days.
What set the stage for me? When is this bad thing we're going to talk about happening? Where were you working at the time?
It is summer 2010. I am working at Twitter. We were 120 people. About 70 or 80 of those were engineers. I was one of those engineers. But the World Cup happened. And it was a bad time for us in engineering.
I remember those whales.
Whales. So a fail whale, of course, is a cartoon whale.
The whale's gone now. It's the robot, right?
Yeah. I had the inauspicious honor of deleting the whale and replacing it with the robot. Yeah, so the fail whale was a cartoon whale that you would get when Twitter took too long to satisfy your requests, whether it was posting a tweet or reading your timeline or like looking somebody else up or whatever, you get a fail whale. So during the World Cup's like a multi-week event with scheduled times of games. So we had an amazing experience in which we got to know exactly when we would just shoot fail whales out the side.
So you're
every day.
You're sitting there fucking watching the clock like it's
perfectly timed. You could watch the ramp up. You get of course spikes because of like anytime somebody wrote the word goal and like you get a million of those and you just be crushed.
Oh right. But, I guess this is like 2010, so it's not like nobody's like assuming that the whole world happens on Twitter yet, right? This is like your first big
Michael Jackson had died like previously and like that had been like the big thing. Where like we ranked like we were still talking kinda about like the amount of traffic that we got in terms of like number of Michael Jacksons existed.
Right.
So, like, this is mini Michael Jackson's. A fail whale, as mentioned before, is a cartoon whale that we send to users when we can't satisfy the request. But there's actually two different HTTP status codes that we send back. And so we would look at those graphs, and you can get either a 502 or a 503. A 503 is when, like, a timeout inside of the Ruby on Rails app flips and goes off. And a 502 is when, like, the Apache web server that fronted those Ruby Unicorn HTTP servers could no longer talk to Unicorn. Weirdly, usually in a normal case of like a bad outage, you'd see a bunch of 503s and a few 502s.
Right.
And of course, over time, you'd see more and more 503s, and then you get more and more 502s later. With this incident, it was these incidents repeated over and over again. You would see, the 503s go up. But then very quickly, the 502s would not only beat the 503s, but then go even higher. And you get way more 502s than you'd ever get 503s. It was really weird looking, and nobody knew what the fuck it was. Right. We started, by the time my on-call rolled around, me and this ops guy who, and the IMOC, the incident manager on-call, had decided to start getting very systematic about it. And we had a bunch of these feature flags that were all scattered throughout the Rails app, including some that might like boost performance by like rejecting requests or something like that. We started getting brutally systematic where we just start turning off features and then looking at the request rate and looking at the damage. Nothing works. Fucking nothing works. Any like we were trying to get real science-y about it because we had seen there's nothing the engineer on call is like, you can like gather data. That's the one thing you can do. You can just gather data. The 502s versus 503 thing is really interesting to me, and I can't, like, I won't let it go because nothing else, like, there's just no other data to go on. It seems to span across URLs. It seems to span across, like, features. It seems to span across databases. Like, nothing seems to, like, be very clearly the problem.
Sure.
At least given the data that I have available to me, I pull out some, like, old school Unix tools. It was like the deepest I've ever gone with strace, and I can still like rattle it off today. Strace dash lowercase t uppercase t v and then dash p.
Damn, dude.
-S 1024 because I need it. So what I was doing was I was like trying to figure out like, okay, so the 502s going up means that the Apaches are no longer able to talk to the unicorns on the same machine directly behind. So I start correlating between the like 502s I'm seeing on one Apache, like the Apache process, and the 50 and like any work that's going on inside of a given unicorn. We were running 24 of these Ruby unicorn processes
right
per machine. And I tried first using like some procfs magic of like looking at file descriptors and like comparing people's like socket shared between patches. That fucking work. So like,
yikes.
And I could, yeah. So like couldn't get that to work. So I just started time correlating stuff. So S trace, lowercase t, uppercase t gives you the time of when each system call gets made in a process, plus also the capital T like does something with the time to make it more readable. I can't remember what it was. And what I started noticing, and then I'd also use the strace dash S 1024 parameter with, that'll get strace to not only give you the system call that was made and the time it was made, but also it will include like the buffer of data of like raw data that was arguments.
Weird. So you get like
up to like, you get like 1K data sent to a write system call. So you can actually see, I started noticing something really fucking weird. I would see these 502s, these like SIG pipes happen in Apache, which is an error that happens when like the pipe no longer becomes readable because like the socket got closed in Apache. And so it would send out these 502s for like this, and it would send, like you tell from the response body and the request that came in that it was for sure for the request that I was looking from at the unicorn. It was like time correlated okay. But the unicorn, 200 OKs get written. So, like, a unicorn would be like, yo, buddy, 200 OK, here's a bunch of JSON. Or, hey, buddy, here's a bunch of HTML. And then over in Apache land, it had already, like, given up and, like, seen the socket close talking to this, like, unicorn process.
Whoa. What the fuck? So Apache sees the socket close, but the write on the unicorn side?
Yeah.
Saw it open?
Totally works. Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah, still open.
This is just, like, over loop, right? You're on localhost.
Yes. Yes. Okay. Exactly. Okay. Yes. Exactly. What the fuck? If you're familiar with like the unicorn design, here's how it works. Okay. Unicorn used Unix magic to share one like connection over to Apache, kind of. So what you'd do is Apache would be talking to would. Proxy pass would send data over to this thing called the unicorn master, and then the unicorn master keeps like this queue of socket IDs basically that are like for each request that comes in and will acts as like a queue for like these child process unicorns, the ones that I was S tracing, to like pick up off of.
Oh, word. Okay.
And they pick up off this like shared queue and like start operating on the socket that it had come in and then pass that data back. So, but that is like basically just an unbounded infinite queue inside of Unicorn, Unicorn Master. Which, when you describe it that way, people start going, oh, that's like a 2K17 engineer goes, oh, that sounds like a bad thing, right? That's one of those bad things.
Uh-huh.
You're like, yeah, buddy. Yeah, what's up? So after much thought, you come up with the realization that the timeout for the Apache sending back a 502 itself and giving up on a background unicorn is 5 seconds. The unicorns also recognize that 5 seconds is a timeout, but only when talking to other services. So, for instance, if you're starting to get overloaded and your queue inside the unicorn master is like very long, what can happen is a unicorn process can pick up the request coming in at like 4.8 seconds. And it can go, okay, cool, I have 5 seconds of work I can do, and I will go use that to talk to databases and whatnot, and it will successfully do so.
Nice.
But 200 milliseconds later, Apache's given up. So you just did a whole bunch of shitty SQL queries, and Memcached looks up that were completely useless and irrelevant and haven't moved the queue at all, because you took 5 seconds to do it.
Right.
So you just would never, you'd have these requests come in, and you do a bunch of work and you just never get data back out the door. You'd get all these 502s because you just had this disconnect. Like a request would come in way late in the 5 seconds of its lifetime, but unicorns wouldn't know that and then would try to do all the work for them. By the time they got back, Apache had given up. So you're in there to fix this. I'm putting this in quotation marks, right? I want to like deep. I'm doing them in the air right now while I'm talking to you.
That's the best kind of software engineering.
You can't see how big the motions I'm making are. Just huge quotation marks. I fixed the problem by adding to our Apache configs. You could add this X start time header, and It is like the time in which Apache receives the request. We would, and then I wrote some Ruby code such that at the beginning of the request, I would see if it was like, yo, is this really close to 5 seconds already?
Right.
Okay, just give up. Which was, again, many quotation marks around fixed. Okay.
It's cool, man, though. You invented tracing
right there. Right. What a. So. That got us to, like, instead of being 80% down, like, I think it was somewhere between, we'd go, like, 60 to 80% of our traffic would suddenly become whales during one of these. Instead, with this quotation mark fix in place, we would only get to, like, 20%.
Wow, that's dope. That's a good fix, dope. Man.
That was a good fix. It was a good fix, man. It was, like, a good fix. But it wasn't actually, but you're still like, well, where the fuck is the other 20% coming from? Like, That doesn't seem good.